Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode... What episode are we on, David?
We'll now be on episode 30, I'd have thought, because we're in the late 20s.
I think we're in the late 20s still. So, to my right-hand side of the regular guest is David Edwards. He's got 19 middle names. He's the blonde... what's your nickname this episode?
The blonde bazooka, perhaps.
Blonde bazooka, it's absolutely fine. And our guest this week is none other than Adam Buxton.
Hey!
Hello!
Wow, it's lovely
Wonderful.
To have you here, Adam.
What's my nickname?
What's Adam's nickname, David?
The short shit.
The short shit.
No, I think...
the satisfying shit.
The band Dazzling Buxton.
Wow, you even made a new word.
I think I did, actually. I don't know where that came from.
What word was it, David?
Bam Buzzling. Bam Bazzling.
Bam Dazzling was
bam
the word.
Bam Dazzling.
Yeah.
Almost
yeah.
like a stripper type of vibe. In
Bum Dazzling would have been fine.
But that, absolutely. Dazzling.
Wow, a stripper vibe.
Yeah, that's what came to mind.
Came to mind.
Well, sort of like a, like a not full Monty, like a northern club. I mean, like Las Vegas.
Yes, yeah, right. Someone with showgirls. Sequins and
definitely
ostrich feathers.
Absolutely, Las right. Vegas showgirls around you, yeah, and right. you and perhaps like
artificial ostrich feathers. Obviously, I don't
right. quite right.
No, it's absolutely. Well, this episode, guys, this is quite a weird one. So. It's probably the weirdest one we've ever done. We're walking along the street in a lovely... Where are we, David? What village are we in?
We are in a small village in Norway.
Okay, what's that village called?
Shelton. There we go. I don't know what that well. I'm perhaps not pronouncing
ever
it well.
Have you been to Shelton in Norway before?
It's pronounced... it's pronounced... Hurting.
There we go. You got me out of that hole. Thank you very much. It's not my geography. It's
How
my
is
accent.
It pronounced, David?
Hilton.
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 Right.
There's a lot of O's with lines through them.
Well, I can see it now. I can see
What's
the.
What's that, Charles? Charles is with us.
Hilton.
So sorry.
Hilton.
Hilton. That's Hilton. It. It's pronounced Hilton.
Hilton.
Okay. And what can we see around us, guys? What can you see, David?
Lots of chimneys. Smoke.
Chimneys.
And children
lots
playing.
Lots of what?
Chimneys.
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 For real?
That's what I hope not.
Chimneys.
Chimneys.
Chimneys. There we go.
Do you think it's chimneys?
No, now you said it back to me,
don't
certainly
point,
not.
Don't point,
that
whatever you do,
like
don't
a
point.
Snack or something, some kind of French cuisine. It doesn't sound like a...
So what is the word?
Chimney.
So sorry?
Chimney.
That's it, chimney.
There we go. So thank God. That was a worrying moment, wasn't it? But we'll
what
move
else can
on.
Can you see, Adam? Can you
move on to
chimneys? I think that the chimney is a better word, though.
There you go. That's boost my self esteem there. Thank
because
you very much.
If you think about it, chimney, like getting the N in, getting that
work,
hard consonant after a big old M.
It's not easy. It's got to be said. It's a tongue twister.
The mountainous M consonant. And
it
then you got to slam the N in there as well.
And I had trouble with that.
It's a living
I don't
nightmare.
Mind
admit,
to put my hand up, that N was a difficult one to juggle.
But then if it's chimney, it's like going on a
it's easy.
Water ride.
Water ride, yes, it is. Yeah, so it is. Should we go for chimney?
Should
we give them a brand new name? Like, should we call chimneys something else? What are we calling them, David?
Chim Tatars.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's quite a nice touch. They're higher than usual.
Chimney is just better. You know, some words would be... It's like eggcorn sometimes.
Yes.
When people use the wrong word for something, it turns out that it's actually a slightly better word than the original one that they're thinking of.
Have you got any examples of this?
Eyebrows.
eyebrows.
Yeah.
Instead of eyebrows.
Instead of eyebrows.
Yeah, that works.
I mean, I suppose that's racist against people who don't have brown eyebrows.
But I've got blonde ones, and I'm not taking any offence.
All right, cool. Because
quite happy with that.
Eyebrow. It's better.
It rolls off the tongue nicer, doesn't it?
Have you got any more, Adam? It would be a little one-minute section, this.
Oh, man. Eggcorns.
Eyebrow.
Eyebrow. There's so many. I can't think of any now.
Can you come up with one, David?
There's Nike or Nike. I'm trying to enter into the banter,
well,
people.
When people say, instead of the phrase, well, that's a given, some people say, well, that's a gibbon.
A gibbon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a gibbon.
Apparently that's a southern thing, gibbon, and it came from Portsmouth. It's bizarre that you say that.
Stop because pointing. Stop
pointing, put the old index fingers away. It's a case of ultimately, it came from Portsmouth, that gibbon thing. Someone else said that to me last week.
What do you mean?
Instead of given, it's a gibbon. Is that what you're saying?
Why Portsmouth?
Honestly,
I swear... Is that the gibbon capital of the UK?
Yeah, I think so. It's something to do with the accent or the... The general kind of...
What is the Portsmouth accent?
The Portsmouth accent...
You're
I'm
from
not,
Portsmouth, aren't you?
I spent a bit of time in Portsmouth, 3 years.
You're listening to it.
And it's got a slight Cockney vibe. I'm not talented with voices.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right, me old mate.
What was that, Charles?
All right, my
old mate. All right, me old mate.
All right, me old
a
mate.
A bit more like that. A bit more dialed down a bit. It's not like Ray Winston vibe.
Yeah.
It's more like...
All right, my old mate. How you bloody doing, man?
Or what about
Costco blood going on? It gets one of them wibwobs. Like a nice little smoke in the chimney. What?
Is it like that?
Sort of like that. Do you know the guy on Saturday Morning Kitchen who's a bit
all right, me old mate?
It's like a bit, a bit more like that. It's a bit like, it's not intense. You're not going to be attacked in an alleyway by them, but they've got a slight rough around the edges vibe. Yes.
Now, I'm going down to the pub. What?
What was that?
Shut up.
That's a bit nearer to it.
I'm going down the pub. To the pub. What are you coming? You have come and have 2 pint or drink there in a pub.
And that's what you'd be interacting with Portsmouth. Like, I'm all right, thank you, Fred. Yeah. But I don't want to go to the pub.
Well, that's a gibbon.
Thanks for the invitation.
Obviously, that's a gibbon.
That is a gibbon. Take care, look after yourself.
That's tying it back up.
Just give an eye contact and be positive and wander on.
So, guys, what we're going to today is quite an unusual one, but we're going to a little shop.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And it's run by a funny little man who collects farts.
Okay.
I understand. Am I making sense?
No, absolutely making sense.
So he's like an inventor, and he's using farts as kind of a fuel to power. What's he powering, David? He's
just built... the lighting and the conveyor belts to make the sweets.
Is it James Corden?
Is it James Corden?
It could
what
be.
What is
it's
his
possibility.
Name? He's a Norwegian guy.
He's out collecting American farts now.
James Kadan. No, that was Chinese. That doesn't work. That's not Norwegian.
Jans is good.
Jans, that's a good start. God, you're helping me with my self-esteem here. You really are. You're helping me out. Every time I trip, you're there to help me up, which is very good of you. Jans, Cordon.
Okay.
Flipping it.
You had every opportunity
I did,
to
swing
accurate.
That around.
And then you just went somewhere similar.
It's not good. It seems to go into the North Korea department. I don't know why.
Here, we're outside the shop, everybody.
Yes.
And so I thought we just...
What's it called?
What's
the shop?
What's the shop called, Adam?
Fast and Furious.
Very nice. Fast very contemporary.
Furious.
Young demographic.
Fast and Furious. And in we go. And I guess we better sit in reception. And while we sit in reception before we meet the man, the first question. I've got a first question for you, David. You ready?
Wonderful.
If you had to leave Earth on a spaceship and take 4 friends with you, who would they be?
Mm. Mm. 4 friends with me. It would go about saying...
Well, it wouldn't.
No, quite right. It's got to be. This is why I'm here to reveal who those people would be on
number
space
one,
travel.
First friend.
First friend. I've got a friend called Doug who lives next door to me, and we get on well.
Does he really live next door to you?
He does live next door to me in Arundel, where I am at the moment.
Has he got a spade in his head?
He hasn't got a spade in his head.
No.
Well, then he should be Douglas.
Douglas.
Well, there you go.
But there you go. Quite right, Douglas, the man himself. And I think we would bond well during the space journey.
Is he your friend? Your friend? Have you made friends since?
I've made friends since I moved in.
And he's one of your top 4 friends?
Friends come and go, don't they, really? Friends are very much on a kind of spectrum. Do you know what I mean?
Have you got a tight unit of friends anywhere?
It's got to be said, since I've hit 40, a lot of them...
Have you hit 40?
I am going to be hitting 40 in
March.
But
you haven't hit 40?
No, the asteroid's coming towards me, sort of deep impact-wise, and it's coming my way.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have got families now. And, you know, there isn't like a Dave Edwards shape hole to push myself in,
if
sort of
only.
Thing.
Right.
If
we're,
only.
We'd all be hanging around that hole.
I hope so, basically. A long queue coming along with it. Yeah. Like something out of Being John Malkovich
You've
or something.
Been down to the Dave Edwards shaped hole.
Yes, it's a lonely hole.
Yes, I have. It's great. I love it. I took the kids at half term. We all went through it. I got stuck. I liked it.
That's what I'd like. Do you know what I mean? But at the moment, it's a bit disused and a lot of cobwebs there. So it's me.
This year, we're opening 25 more Dave Edwards-shaped holes across the UK. It's a sensation, with people from all over the world wanting to pass through the Dave Edwards-shaped holes.
Are the Dave Edwards-shaped holes not as good as they used to be? They've sold out slightly. It's different.
There's always critics.
It's the same shape, but it doesn't feel the same.
What is the shape of the Dave Edwards hole, Adam?
It's like a big love heart with...
Oh, lovely. Like, oh,
lovely.
Like a long
a
love
big blonde
heart.
Yeah. To wander in.
So Doug will be one. Second friend, let's get to the end of this question.
Second friend, I guess I'd have to take a lot of people away from their families.
Oh, mate. Right.
A bit like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Right, Forget about the wife and kids. Join me on the spaceship and let's venture
and your
up.
Second question, your second friend would be?
So I have Doug.
Doug,
I have
your
Do you know what?
Yeah.
I'm pretty low on the old friends at the moment. Brian, would you come along?
Yeah, I'll come along. Don't
Very
worry about
good.
That.
I mean, yeah, this has opened a whole... hornet's nest a bit there, do you know what I mean? I'm going to have to start getting on Facebook and getting reconnected to people.
Yeah.
And retune, because at the moment, it'd be quite an empty space.
Rocket.
You've opened a horny nest.
I have a horny nest.
I really have.
It's wriggling around.
That's my favourite kind of nest.
Jens has asked if you would like to store one of your farts in these jars before you meet him.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, okay, so we've been handed, a lovely man behind the desk handed us three jars. There's one for you, Adam.
Thank you.
There's one for you,
David. Oh, thank you very much.
Yours is tiny.
It is
jar.
A bit. I don't know why he's done that. I can come up with a man for
Adam's
when
got
to.
A big
I've got
jar.
A very wide opening on the jar, that is.
Yeah, yeah.
You have
a
straw there for you.
I know, it's very odd. I don't quite know what's happening
That's
there.
That's surgical.
I feel a bit like, you know, almost I'm being demasculated here. I can come up with a, you know, rude male fart like the next man.
Okay,
with a straw.
Can you fart on command like some people can burp?
If you could give me like a 1 minute window.
Seriously?
I think I could probably. Yes, probably, yes. I could kind of do some burping
well,
and then after a while...
I'm very tempted to give you that window, David.
Goodness me.
Windy
well, I
window.
Wouldn't want to create
a
any
windy
nasty
window.
Gases in the shop. I'll keep it within the straw.
Okay, so what we're going to do, I think we'll get on the on these little beds and we're going to be massaged just so we're, just for, so we're all ready to go.
So relax.
So Adam, you get on that little bed.
Thanks
little
very much.
I'll get on this. I'll get on this bed.
Oh, this is comfy.
I'm going to lay here. I'm going to lay on my front. Lay on your front, people, because it will help the stomach.
And so we're just being massaged by three male nurses.
You still have your trousers on. I thought I...
Yeah.
We were told to disrobe.
Come on, disrobe, David.
Off go the chinos. Quite right.
There we go.
Slip them off around the ankles.
So we're just getting massaged by three male nurses. Adam, have you got a question? Your first
Does that feel okay?
Mm.
Oh, it does. Thank you. Very nice.
It's lovely.
Does that feel okay?
Yeah,
that's lovely. Thank you. My question is...
Question
is this for both of you?
Just for David.
Just for David.
Just for David.
All right, David. So this is a bit of a cop-out because it's the title of a song, but deal with it how you wish. What's so funny about peace, love and understanding?
I would say there is nothing funny about peace, love and understanding. It should in no way be mocked
but
or sneered at.
Try and find something funny.
Try and find something. try and find... Find the humour within it.
Yeah.
In some way. I'll tell you what's funny about it.
Yeah.
It's probably unrealistic and it's an unattainable utopia.
So that's a hollow laugh, though.
I mean, it is a bit of a sarcastic
that's
laugh.
That's dark comedy. That
it's the
mining.
Lowest form of humour. I don't think you can get that whole trilogy, that whole hat trick in one
So it's not.
Lifetime.
It's not possible, no?
So is it peace...
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
And understanding.
I think a very brief window of it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think I've ever had... I mean,
Why
family
is that, David? Why is
I don't
that?
Know. I mean, family holidays...
Well, could you find an answer in your head? Why is it?
I suppose because everyone's got their own wants, narratives. You know, if you're with a family, everyone's got their own little desires, what they want to do.
Right.
It's all very political in families. It's not as bad as an office space, but... You know, it might as well be Westminster. People have got gripes from other people and things like that.
Right.
And, you know, you're always the centre of your own reality, aren't you? So it's always a case of playing chess. Lots of smiles and, you know, welcome for Christmas. But, you know, don't eat all the pudding type of thing.
Don't eat all the gripes.
Yeah, quite right.
Oh, you ate all the grapes.
For God's sake, you know, share yeah. those.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's quite a miserable
answer.
It
is very miserable. It's got to be said, but I don't think all three. I think it's something to aspire to, but don't expect.
I mean, it's getting more unlikely, though, isn't it? Because we're talking about universal peace, love and understanding. And the thing is that the planet's population continues to increase exponentially. I don't know if it's actually exponentially, but it's, like, a lot. And the more people there are, as you say, you know, just within a household, maybe you've got five people. There's never really harmony at any one time.
Never.
You might get, as you said, like tiny windows when everyone gets along and the cogs are turning.
Yeah.
But the rest of the time, there's always one who's in a mood or pissed off about something or who's got some kind of mental problem, and then everything else grinds to a halt.
Well, is it any surprise we're living on this rock floating? It's a very, very strange experience, isn't it?
It is, and it does worry about this overpopulation as well. I mean, what's going to happen with us all?
We're not going to be here.
We're not going to be here.
We're going to go to Mars.
No, it'll be, I mean, at some point, we won't be here. I hope that it's not within my lifetime or the lifetime of my children that we witness the
absolute...
But your
grandchildren not so bothered about?
Or? Not bothered about them, no.
No.
They're ungrateful.
Yeah.
And they never write to me.
No.
So screw them. But I hope that within our lifetime we don't see an apocalyptic end of day scenario.
Do you know, I have this weird excitement when it comes.
Do you?
I keep reading. I listen to a lot of Sam Harris, and I've listened to the North Korea episode probably about 20 times. Mm. I get quite excited about it. What's that about?
What is that? That's a sort of vertiginous thrill. It's like being at the cliff edge and something about it makes you want to step off.
Yes.
Just to embrace the void.
Yes.
It's Adam Curtis, that documentary guy, he said it was a case of, it's like an ego thing because you want to, you don't want it to end, you know, you want the party to come to an end while you're here.
Right.
So it's a case of...
It's very much
a case of, like, you know, the idea of everyone carrying on, enjoying the party.
Yeah,
it's like, no.
Yeah.
No, you know, we're all going to leave the party together.
If I'm going to go, everyone's going to go.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what? I think you might be.
I don't know. It's not my thoughts. You know what I mean? I'm not... I haven't got a...
Also, I don't think I'd take it very seriously. It feels like a film to me. It feels like I'm reading about something that's...
That's the ultimate narcissism, though, isn't it? It's sort of thinking that, yes, without me, the rest of the universe cannot carry on.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how people feel anyway, isn't it? Like, if I wasn't here, then none of this would be going on. I'm the centre of this whole exercise.
Yeah.
And so it would be comforting to know that literally everything was going to go.
Yeah.
And it is bizarre that the more you remind yourself and life tells you you're not the centre of everything, you still slip into that, I am the centre of everything.
Yeah. And everything, of course, these days is constructed to reinforce that, social media, etc.
Yeah.
It's all designed to make you think that you're the most exciting person around. Although there is there feels like there is a increasingly powerful reaction against all that, with people agitating for returning to some more communal sense of what it is to be alive and to be cohabiting. I don't know if...
But I guess what you were saying earlier, you don't think that's possible, do you? That people can get on and...
Well, not. I suppose with social media, what do they call it? An echo chamber.
How's your bottom? He's rubbing it very hard.
It's very hard,
David,
indeed.
And David.
Yes?
You seem very uncomfortable.
Well, the
easing
straw
from the
is
case
not...
of the rapid wind.
Yeah, well...
Try and relax, please.
Yeah, I am going to relax. The straw's rather painful,
though. Thing is, you don't want to strain in this situation because there's always the danger of following through.
Well,
very true. Well, and all I've got is a straw.
Well, it's time to do it, guys. So you put the straw where it's obviously going to go up your passage.
Yeah, there we are. Thank you very much, Adam.
You do what you got. So I'll do what I've got to do. So, David, you go first. So,
do you mind if you push into your David?
Yeah, okay. Let me just focus and just relax.
What was that, Master?
Do you mind if you push into your David?
By all means, if you think it'll help.
Do you mind if we push into you, David? Is that what he said?
I think so, the straw type of thing.
Straw into
if you think it'll help to get the ball rolling, why not? Let's collaborate.
Correct.
Why do you want to get your ball rolling?
Oh, indeed. Yes, well, something's coming out.
Okay, hang on a minute. Here we go. So after three, David, if you'd like to expel any...
One, two... Here we are. Oh, I apologise for any smell or any inappropriate odour.
Quickly, put the lid on the jar.
Yeah, oh, here we go. Oh, somebody got escape. I've got about three quarters of the fart in the jar.
This is a funny old... over to you, Adam.
That was super great.
That was
very proud of my David.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so Adam's really concentrating. Oh. Wow. What a gassy
man. Mind over matter.
Wow. Here we go. This is going all right.
I'm holding things open to ease the passage.
Yeah. So we're going to need a bigger jar.
That's good. No, that's good because you can see it's actually a little cloudy in there and it's very dense.
Yeah.
So it's sunk to the bottom of the jar. There's no danger of it escaping. I'm just going to pop the cork on.
Okay. Oh, it's a cork.
Nicely. You've done this before, clearly.
It's like a mason jar.
Rely on you.
Thanks, Adam.
You want to lie on me?
What was that?
Thanks, Adam. Can always rely on you.
We can always rely on you.
We can always lie on you.
Right. And I'm just going to do mine ones. I haven't got much there, so it's going to be a quick one. Here we go. Bang. There we go.
Did the job, bro. Did the job.
Okay, now what have we got to do with the jar, Masser? While we wait for you to answer, I've got a question from someone on Twitter, David.
Right.
What was the last thing that you totally messed up that nobody found out about? David?
Well, it's going to be something medical, unfortunately. I'm not going to go into great detail, but it was applying the wrong cream for thrush. Simple as that. Which wasn't ideal. It just added to the irritation.
This
would have been about 2 weeks ago. It wasn't my fault. It was the woman in the chemist.
Right.
And
what cream did you apply?
Well, is it called Canistene?
Caniston.
Yeah.
Caniston. They become very specialised now, Caniston.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've used it recently.
There's different strains.
Yeah, different strains completely, and one specific to athletes' feet.
Right.
And I didn't need it for that whatsoever.
What did you need it for? What part of that?
Just, you know, the old...
Armpits.
Private... Yep, absolutely, yeah. The private part kind of areas type of thing. That kind of
the Netherlands.
Region. The Netherlands, quite right. And it was a case of, this is wrong, this isn't, you know, this isn't happening, this is stinging type of thing.
Yeah.
And it came out in a different... Well, they've become too specialised, and there used to just be one brand. He just grabbed and did the whole job in one
really?
Swoop.
What was that brand?
It was just good old Caniston.
Oh, okay.
Good old Caniston, you just grab it.
What was the little jingle that Caniston would have? Do you remember the...
Can, you can with Caniston...
Canistene. Why are you calling it Canistene?
Canistene. I'm trying to get a rhyme out of it, so I'm going to rhythm...
it's like Goldstein or something.
Like Goldstein type of thing.
Caniston, isn't it?
It's Caniston. Caniston.
Do you want to come up with it? We'll come up with it. We'll put
there must
some,
be a Mr. Caniston.
Do you want to come up with a jingle, David? A bit longer than what you did.
Absolutely.
Put some music underneath.
You got an itch, you got an itch, you got a hive. You don't know what to do, you want to hide. Don't worry, because Caniston is here.
Caniston,
with his magical wand, making it all right for here on.
Also works on your ear.
Yes, well done, there you go.
No point. Stop that pointing
index finger.
Okay, we're being called into the back room.
Oh, hello.
Have you got a second question for David, Adam?
Yeah. Well, hey, look, this is another semi-serious question, but you can go whichever way you want with it. The comedy in this, right?
Yeah.
This is the challenge. I was watching Newsnight last night. They had the most depressing report I've ever seen in my... Are we allowed to swear on this?
Absolutely.
In my entire fucking life.
There we go. Do a little swear.
Oh,
David.
I will do. Let's
now.
Do a fuck grenade. There we go.
Fuck
chuck that in the corner.
Oh, I love it.
A bit of shrapnel coming off that.
And you weren't watching, were you, last night?
No.
Newsnight? No. Holy Moses. It was a report about the state of the NHS, which is, can you guess, not good.
Right.
And we're now entering peak period for the NHS. The winter is on its way, Christmas. It's when the hospitals get busiest. And now, because of the aging population becoming so huge, they're just totally overwhelmed. They were in this hospital in Birmingham, and there were these people... who were at death's door anyway, but you know, you get elderly and there's one problem after another at a certain point.
Yeah.
And they're in there just looking totally hopeless and like, this is it. I kept myself healthy so I could live to a ripe old age for this.
Yeah.
Just to be in a fucking corridor in Birmingham Hospital with all these overworked nurses
and
doctors.
They're lying on a bed in a corridor.
Some of them are on a gurney in a corridor. Others in a little room, and you know, with members of their family around, and nurses sort of getting to them whenever they have the time. But
Sounds
they're
horrific.
So overstretched. It was totally horrific. I was like, "Holy Jesus! This is how is this happened. There's got to be a fucking way to fix the...
Well, this guy.
NHS, that's right. So I'm hoping that you're the guy to fix the problem. It's got to be fixable, right? How can they be creating AIs that are about to become more human than human and flying cars and all the other fucking shit that's around? And they can't sort the hospitals out.
Yeah. After three, right. David, how are you going to do it?
One, two, three. More hospital beds. We need to get those in. I mean, you might laugh, but what about bunk beds? Something in that vein.
Beds.
Do you know what I mean? Just something. Just to kind of IKEA. They've got a lot of.
You've gone for a much more practical solution than
I've seen three bunk beds.
Yeah, like one that goes on the side. There's a desk that could be for a doctor or a nurse, and there's another three. Easy to put up.
Storage space.
Yes.
And is one of your other solutions more doctors by any chance?
Oh, yes. Quite right. Yeah, let's get them through.
More and better doctors.
And I mean, you know, let's give them something to aspire to. How many years is it? It's important. How many years is it to be a doctor? Is it five?
It's loads. I mean, it's at least five. More like 10, I feel like.
10?
It's really vocational. It's crazy.
It's very vocational.
So what are your thoughts, David? What did you want to say?
I was thinking about making it the period at university
like
shorter.
Two or three.
Yeah.
So learn it in a couple of years.
Yeah, try and get it through, you know.
I think they've tried that already. I mean, I'm no expert, but I feel like they've sort of tried that. Semi-docs, you know, like junior docs.
Yeah.
I was about to say that, like give them a different title sort
of thing. Yeah, yeah.
A doc instead of a doctor type of
doctish
thing.
Doctish or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So they could basically... Yeah.
Mike, I'm your doctish. and I see that you're not doing very well. Okay. Yeah. Now, have you tried aspirin? Would you like some aspirin?
I like got Mike, some of that. Doctish.
Yeah.
He's lovely.
I'm going to give you these aspirin. And if you're not feeling better in a couple of hours, then we might send in one of the... actual doctors, if they're around, but they're very busy. So you know, that's all you need. You just need like
positive attitude, basically, isn't it?
Because not everyone needs expert care. Come on,
no they just need a bit of self-esteem boost, don't they?
Yeah,
canisteen.
Do you like the idea of
canisteen?
I do, because from the way Adam was presenting it, he or she has a very kind of upbeat kind of attitude. And if I was in my, you know, bed in the middle of a hallway, people pushing me aside so they can get to the vending machine, I'm just a bit of litter in the middle of the room, and this chap wandered up to me, you know, 20-something, quite good-looking, you know, fresh from university.
Thanks very much.
You know, absolutely that type of vibe, a real can-do attitude.
Yes.
I don't want an X-ray, I just want some eye contact and some positive feedback.
Absolutely. Right. Oh, dear, your arm's off there.
Yeah.
That's bleeding very badly. But listen, don't worry, I'm going to just put my hand over that stumpy part and press quite hard. Just let's have a chat. Have you seen Blade Runner 2049?
Did you have, haven't you? Been
I have. I did enjoy it, Doctish.
Did you? You didn't think it was too long?
No, I was quite happy. I saw an IMAX 3D with pups, as I said, my dad. Both of us sat there and we loved it. I loved the twists at the end.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Money well spent.
Did you think it was sexist? Did you think that some of the female characters could have been a bit more fully realised?
Now, Adam, obviously you don't know this, but you are sexist, aren't you, David? No, but we do mention it every episode. There is, isn't there? There's something going on.
There's an element where I'm on the fence and I could fall off at any second.
What does that mean?
In the sense that a woman could save me.
That's what
a
Harvey
woman could
Weinstein
swoop
said.
In and yeah, quite, I don't want to get into that.
But you're quite resentful.
I'm on the fence, but I could fall off. I've fallen off again.
Someone
I'm
help
sorry,
him
but listen, as a gift, I'm gonna give you a part in this shitty fucking movie. So that's a gift for you. I was on the fence for as long as I could be, but then you came in and I fell off. I'm sorry about it. Would you like a shower? I have a shower. I love to shower. Come on. Let's get clean together. And then you can be in this absolutely shitty fucking film.
Have you noticed on the shelves there are loads of jars of celebrities...
celebrity farts.
Celebrity farts.
Oh, blind. It's better than an autograph.
Absolutely everywhere. Adam, what's that one closest to you? Who's that?
That's Ken Loach. That's the wind that shakes the barley.
Oh,
great. The
do you want to open it and see what it sounds
like? Proper
social realist
fart.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so this is Ken Loach.
Wow, the wind that shakes the barley is very...
fruity.
Fruity, yeah, it's fragrant.
Does it feel very real, gritty?
Yeah, it does. That's honest wind.
It really is.
From when wind was wind. From when wind meant something. It wasn't just fucking corporate wind.
Yeah, well said. Not artificial, pretend
David,
wind.
David, there's a big jar by your right calf. Oh. Look, whose is that?
Here we go. Let's pick this up. This is Michael Jackson's farts.
Hmm.
Very nice. Let's.
Don't open that.
Oh, good. Okay, really?
Put that back.
Okay, put that back. Not a problem.
Don't ask any questions.
No problem.
And Adam, to your left-hand side.
Oh, hello.
Yeah,
this is David Bowie's wind.
David Bowie's wind.
This is Wild Is the Wind. Actually, maybe that's Nina Simone's wind.
Open that one.
Oh.
That's all it does.
Smell of. What does it do?
It just went... and then it escaped into the stratosphere.
Did you get any of the smell of it? Any of the psychedelic?
It was less wild than I was expecting. As I say, it's probably Nina Simone's wind originally, Wild Is the Wind. But
is that a Nina Simone song? Yeah. I didn't know that.
I don't know if she wrote it, but she popularized it.
Well, Nina Simone's wind jar is to your right-hand side, David.
Wind
Here we
jar.
Go. Let's
open Sesame, David.
Leave it be.
Open Sesame, David.
Open Sesame. Oh, I'm allowed. Let's give it a... It's on quite tight.
Wow.
Oh, it's like vipers going up my nostril. It's, that's more of a pain than an actual smell. It's, it's almost making my whole nose, like I've just put loads of TCP up there.
Look at this one. It's Marty Pello from Wet, Wet, Wet.
It's Marty Pello's from Wet, Wet, Wet. I'm going to open this one.
Let's go for it. Get stuck in.
Oh, that's actually
chemical.
Liquid. Yeah.
Oh, good grief. It's all gone wet and damp.
That is wet.
Still dewed.
Yeah.
Put that back.
Okay. So we have a golden question.
Fucking stinks.
It stinks. We have a golden question section, Adam. This is where David can ask our guest one question.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we put a little twinkly bed underneath. Over to you, David.
It's a question.
Love this bit.
Absolutely.
Can I put my trousers back on, incidentally?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, you can do. I can help you. Lean on me and we can bring them up.
I'm not going to. I was just wondering if it was allowed.
If you want to, you most certainly can.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I'll, there we go.
I'm going to keep them off. There. That's nice.
Really love this bit.
Here we go.
I was going to say, you're very much a man who's... been in the comedy industry for a long period of time.
That is technically true.
Yeah, and you've done different forms of comedy. Yep. You know, panel shows, sketch shows,
funny,
live.
Funny, unfunny, etc.
No, not at all.
No,
always
okay.
Of a very good pedigree, very consistent. no humour in that.
Yep.
And it's very much a case of, what would you say is, out of all the styles of comedy, your least favourite? You thought, I didn't like that. And your most favourite, where it's like, I'm in the right industry here.
Right.
Do you know, I'd like to butt in here as well.
Yeah.
I've heard you talk about castings.
Mm.
And now I can't stand castings and I'm appalling. So if you've got any casting stories, I'd very much like to hear.
I think I've probably told most of my casting stories. Yeah. The last one, though, was the most chilling one. I think it was probably the last casting I went to for reasons which will become clear. And it was for a major sort of ITV crime drama.
Yeah.
Not
well,
a comedy.
Well, I've done Inspector Linley.
Right, have you?
Yes. Yes, I have.
And, well, this was a bit like that. It was sort of, the main character was a sort of, he's divorced, he's alcoholic, he's a northerner. And I was going up to read for that part.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'd been called in, and the offer came through, or rather the, you know, the offer to do the audition, not the offer for the part. But they, do you want to audition for this? And so I read the script and I was like, well, no.
And are you stressing out about having to do it?
So initially I just said no. Because I thought I'm totally wrong for it. It's ludicrous. I'm not going to get it. And then my agent came back and said, oh, actually the head of ITV, as it was then, this was
really,
years ago.
You?
He's really up for you coming in.
Yeah.
Wow. Just, they want you to just read for it. They think you might be good. So I was like, all right, okay, you never know. So I go into ITV Studios on the South Bank, and the audition was there, as I recall, and there was the head of ITV at the time, and the casting director, she's quite well-known. I'm not going to say any of the names involved, but she's pretty well-known in the industry, powerful casting director. And they said, okay, well, thanks for coming in. I was like, yeah, okay. And he goes, well, do you want to take a run at the scene? And it's this really serious scene.
Yeah.
Where it was like a young woman who had been assaulted and horribly beaten, and she's waking up in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
And this, my character, this hard-bitten northern alcoholic cop is there, and he's sort of saying, you know, we're going to get the fucking bastards that did this to you. And, you know, he's crying, and it's as dramatic as it can. So I did my best.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's intense.
I really did my best. I was like, okay, in for a penny. Here we go. Throw myself into it. Because I do, you know, I like acting. I want to act. I'd like to act more. So I really tried hard. But it was very humiliating and ridiculous because it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it... the guy, the ITV guy, says, "There you go. So how'd you feel about that?" And I was like, "Well, it wasn't great, was it? I mean, seriously, I have to be honest. I'm surprised that you called me in for this, because I can't imagine anyone less well suited to play a part like this."
Yeah.
I thought you were winding me up. And the guy was like, "No, I think you did well. I think you did pretty well. I think you did better than you realize." And I said, "All right, okay, well, thanks anyway." And I said, "All right, well, cheers." And so I go out with the casting director.
Oh, God.
And the door closes. We're in the corridor. And she looks at me with total fury and says, "Well, you just talked yourself out of a job there. And why do you bother coming in for an audition if you're not going to give it your best, if you don't think you're right for it? You know, you humiliated yourself. You humiliated me."
That's a nightmare. That's
and it
dreadful.
Was like it was a proper dressing down.
What a nightmare.
This is me. I mean, this is a few years ago, but I'm still a grown man with children in my late 30s or whatever it was. You know,
what did you say to her?
I was so shocked and humiliated from the whole experience that I didn't really know what to say. I just sort of said, "What? I mean, I said to my agent that I wasn't right for it. I was told that I should come in anyway." And she was like, "Well, you know, don't come in. You know, don't come in if you're not prepared to do the part. You know, that's basic," or something like that. And I was like, "Okay, God, sorry."
Horrible.
And that was that. And I sort of stumbled out. I was, wow, this is... I'm never going to do that again. That was shit.
Yeah. I find the industry has a lot of situations like that where you've got to have thick skin. Because
I mean, this is the thing is, any actors listening to this would think, well, you are a douchebag because, you know, a proper actor gives it their best for every single audition and they're prepared to weather whatever humiliations are tossed in their face. I mean, going back to Weinstein in a horrible way, that is one of the horrible aspects of that whole situation, is that actors are routinely expected to suffer all kinds of humiliations, not sexual humiliations and not physical humiliations. But sometimes, you know, actors and actresses, male and female actors, they're asked to do all sorts of humiliating shit. And sometimes it's snogging people to see if you've got chemistry and stuff. So you can see that the line for someone unscrupulous and creepy can easily be shifted in those sorts of situations.
Yeah,
and when an actor feels vulnerable anyway, it's like I was talking to someone the other day and they were saying, "Oh, yeah, but, you know, surely a lot of these women, they must know what's involved. You know, they're not going to just get talked in. They're not going to get coerced into doing creepy things." I'm like, no, you don't know what it's like. You're in it's not just all about being self-centered and wanting to get a part and you'll do anything for it. You're in a very vulnerable spot. You're in a weird, strange place.
Yeah.
And there's strange artificial dynamics being created. And you're doing your best to navigate them. But it's fucking tricky. And then if someone comes in and starts screwing around with that, either by being a dick and being rude, or, God forbid, being sort of predatory and creepy and you know, harassing you sexually or whatever, that's a disaster area. And it's unfortunately not a surprise that so many people have come out and said, "Yeah, that happened to me. And I thought this was just what everyone had to put up with."
Yeah.
You know? It's awful.
It is horrible.
Yeah, let's
ban films.
Have you ever been into a casting, David?
I've never been in a casting whatsoever. I mean, it sounds... I don't know if I'd be able to survive it.
Guys. I've just had a script come in, and they want David to read for the part of Dr. Shitblood.
Doctor who?
Dr. Shitblood.
Dr. Shiplap. Well, I'm happy to cast. Let's go for it. If it's a role.
He's a diverticulitis expert.
The part of patient?
So you're playing
Adam, Dr. Do you mind reading in for the part of patient?
Oh, here we go. Yes. Sure.
Dr. Shipblood.
Yes.
And you've obviously got the script there, David.
Yeah, I am certainly here. Thank you very much. Here we go.
And Adam, you've got the script. You've hardly got any words there, Adam. So it looks like a whole chunky old monologue from David.
Yeah. Here we go.
Okay, so this is obviously an emotional part of the film.
I can see already it's stressful casting. Straight, you know, there's a lot of pressure on you, isn't there, to sort of deliver.
Well, yeah. On you, there is.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I'm trying to think what Shipblood's about, what's his sort of his attitude and background.
So it's the end of the film. It's a big and emotional scene. You know the...
Shall we add music underneath?
Yeah, let's add some wonderful sweeping music underneath.
All right, here we go. Dr. Sh...
So you... Dr. Sh... Yeah. Adam's got, what, how many hours to live?
Well, this is the thing.
Yeah.
Dr. Shipblood, give it to me straight. And I'm not talking about... No, I'm not saying that. What kind of script is... Who wrote this?
Don't
this is grotesque.
The
All right, listen, I'm not...
Me.
Dr. Shipblood, I want you to be candid with me. How long have I got?
I'm going to be completely realistic to you. It really is. I mean, you know, it's lunchtime now. Make the most of it. I don't think you're going to make the next meal time. I don't think you're going to be around for dinner. I really don't. You're not going to make it to the evening. Oh, right, already.
That was a very short audition.
That was very short. I mean, I didn't even got to the crying yet.
Can we do one more casting? Can we do one more casting? Okay, David, you're a superhero.
Right, okay.
Okay, and you're about to confront your nemesis, who is... What's your name?
Doctor. It's always Doctor, isn't it? Captain Fuckface.
Captain Fuckface. So you've got the script there,
yeah,
Adam. And so we'll put some sort of John Williams style...
Oh, lovely. A bit of orchestra, John Williams there.
Okay,
I like the idea of that.
It's a big moment in the film.
And Zimmer, it would be now.
Yeah, Zimmer, it would be, yes. With a bit of Sim from the background, lovely.
And your name is?
The Blonde Bullet.
The Blonde Bullet.
Like speed everywhere, like a bullet, and suddenly I appear.
Over to you, Adam. Obviously, you kick off the scene.
Blonde Bullet! You're a fucking joke! Everyone knows it! Why don't you retire, you piece of shit?
Well, Fuckface, is it?
Captain Fuckface! You idiot!
Well, if I'm the joke, you're the punchline. Oh. It's lovely you've got a sense of humour, friend, as you're off to the bloody jail.
Next.
Shut the fuck up!
Next.
It's that sort of attitude
Next.
That's got you in the front of the law.
I gave it too much, didn't I?
You were superb.
No, it was great.
That was electric.
I
can see that on IMAX 3D surround sounds.
I mean, that's one thing I can do is laugh for a long time.
We do that now.
Life.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna have a little laughter section here.
Yes.
So
why not?
The thing is, when you force yourself to laugh, you go over a hump and it becomes real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it starts out fake.
Yeah.
But then the actual what you're doing with the air and your esophagus and I don't know what.
Yeah.
It starts becoming.
That's yeah.
Like
yeah,
real
it's like a
hysteria.
Car engine sort of. Blah, 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 blah,
I'll
blah,
try this at home or I'm alone.
Okay, so we're gonna have a laugh off here.
Okay.
But
okay.
I go in pretty hard. I'm sorry to use that phrase, but...
Okay.
No, please do.
So who wants to go first? Should we do rock, paper, scissors?
Oh, yes, okay.
After three. 1, 2, 3.
Straight in. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. That's
come on,
that
come on.
Sonic boom of laughter. Here we go.
Here we go.
That's from an Alan Pinter play or something. Harold
sort
Pinter.
Of a polite laugh.
Alan
a sort of, you
Alan
know,
Minter play.
Harold Minter.
Alan Minter.
Alan Minter.
That was like a pirate. Had too much rum.
Well,
I
think Adam's the winner there.
It
that?
Certainly
Absolutely.
Was.
Right, last question, then we've got to leave the little fart shop, okay?
Yes.
So, I guess you've got to answer this quickly, Dave. We're running out of time. Final question is this. What was your favourite toy?
My favourite toy goes without saying was the Ewok Village.
Shit, that'll do.
Early 80s. There we are.
Did you like the Ewok Village?
Oh, man, I used to dream of the Ewok Village, but I was lucky enough to get the Death Star, which was like
really?
The... Wow. It's like a slice of cake. Yeah. That was disappointing when I got it out of the box. In my mind, I thought, well, you're going to get the whole Death Star, right? You're going to get a big globe.
Right.
But then you like get it out and you construct it, and it's like a slice of cake.
Oh. I didn't even know they did the Death Star. I didn't even know that came. That's amazing.
It was still pretty great. It had a trash compactor in the bottom, and there was a hatch above to a control area. At the top, there was a laser cannon that looked a bit like the... the thing from Alien, you know, the navigator's seat or whatever it's called.
Oh,
you know,
right,
the big gun they find.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, in Prometheus.
It looked a bit like that.
Did everyone have the Falcon? Everyone had the Falcon.
Oh, I had the Falcon, all right.
Had the Falcon, amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's a design classic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I think the Death Star, that's pretty a collector's.
What was your favourite toy? The Ewok Village?
The Ewok Village, which was lovely. Four big oak trees in the middle. All the Ewoks would sit around a bonfire.
Yeah. How many Ewoks did you have?
I had five. I had Chief Chirper, I had Wicket, I had the Medicine Man, and that was it, actually. I said five.
I was going to say, like, if you could name five Ewoks, I'd be well impressed.
Can you come up with two
made-up
Ewok
names? That was good already.
Chumbawamb. Would be one.
Okay,
I'm trying to think.
Okay.
And Pricket Hedge. Sort of agricultural indoor vibe.
Okay, so to end the podcast, thanks for that. To end the podcast, before we end the podcast, thank you so much, Adam, for being a guest.
Thanks for being here. I'd just like to point out, obviously, that I'm aware that Harvey Weinstein didn't do the actual auditions, but I'm just saying it's that kind of atmosphere.
Well
said. I think it's all valid points raised.
Yeah. Anything you want to say? Say thank you to Adam. Anything you learned from Adam? What did you learn?
Well, one
what
thing,
did you learn?
Casting, what a handful.
Fuck that.
Right,
I'm not going to snog in front of people just for the hell of it.
Okay, so
boycott entertainment.
And a big thank you to our editor, James. Big thank you to
James.
James,
it's all about you. Thank you very much. You sprinkle on the magic dust.
Quite.
The fart dust.
So we've all got we've all collected some jars from the shelves.
Yes.
And we're going to open each lid and create some kind of tune,
Ooh.
Some sort of melody.
Oh, lovely.
So you've got five jars there. Can you quickly rattle off the celebrities' names, Adam?
Oh, yeah. So, I've got David Bowie's
farts. David Bowie.
I've got Ken Loach's farts.
Ken Loach, what's that long tube you've got? Whose is that?
Oh, that's Stephen Merchant's farts.
Stephen Merchant's fart, and that one there, it's more like a cardboard box.
Oh, and that is John Bishop's farts.
John Bishop's farts. And could you rattle off your five?
I've got Lorraine Kelly's here. I have Philip Schofield's and John Wayne, a.k.a. the Duke.
Racist farts.
It certainly is a right-wing odour to it.
And those two there.
I can't fart.
You can't fart, fair enough.
You can't fart, what's up?
What are those?
The Chuckle Brothers.
The Chuckle Brothers. Okay, so we've got all those jars, so one at a time, open the lids, and
here
we'll
we
create
go.
Some kind of melody to end the podcast. Thank you so much, guys, and here we go with the fart song.
Ooh!
Thank you so much, and see you on the next podcast. Goodbye!
Bye!
Bye!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.